That, of course, is the Zac Brown Band with Chicken Fried here on 98.7 Valley Heritage Radio. Joining me on the line is Chris Riondo, who is the play director for Spinning Yarns, the Millworkers musical that's running at the Almont Old Town Hall until Sunday, November the 26th. Chris, how are things? Are you ready for the snow?
Oh, we're ready. We're ready. Thanks very much for having me on, Andrew.
I was going to say that maybe the weather's going to impact people going out to see the show, but I mean, you've sold completely out. That's got to be a feather in your cap.
That is, and it's rare in the amateur theater community in the Valley. I got to say, it's tough to get people out before the last minute, and we were very lucky to do so. But with the snow coming, you never know, we might have some cancellations. So there's always the chance to join our waiting list online, and then you too could get to the show.
So if people are interested, they can go to ticketsplease.ca in case, like you said, there's any last-minute cancellations?
Exactly. If somebody phones in or emails in that they have a couple tickets, we put it out to the whole waiting list, and it's first come, first serve. And, we've had a few people slide in at the last minute, so...
I've got to ask you, what is it about the Millworkers musical that is just appealing to people out there?
It's heritage. I mean, like they're at Valley Heritage Radio, right?
Yeah.
Like people, especially people, you know, we were thinking this would be a great way for kids to learn history. I don't know if kids are as interested in history as us old folks, older folks, but anyone over a certain age is just loving, like they're remembering. You know, we've had Millworkers, former Millworkers, come to the show and say they saw their childhood playing out on the stage. You know, people will recognize some of the songs. They'll recognize some of the big moments in the the heritage, the past of our area. And I'm talking recent past. I'm talking the last 200 years. Mm-hmm. You know, but basically since the Rosman brothers came over and started putting up mills and bringing people over from Ireland and England and Scotland. You know, that's how a lot of the valley towns were settled. If it wasn't textiles, it was lumber. But our story is a textile story.
It's when you've got six sold out shows, and that's the run that you guys were going to do. Do you think to yourself, should we add more shows? Maybe
we carefully considered it. We considered adding another show, so that we would be doing both a matinee and an evening show on the same day.
Okay.
But it takes, like this show, the Millworkers themselves, and there are about, I don't know, like 18 of them, and then a couple of other folks, they're on stage for almost 2 hours. Mm. And they're singing, you know, a dozen or more songs, and they're dancing, and they're running up and down the back stairs of the Almont Old Town Hall. And so it wasn't that easy to... It wasn't that easy to add a show within our run. And to extend the run, in Almont, the Almont Old Town Hall is the only venue that has proper lights and sound, and you can put on a full-on stage production. So it gets a lot of use. And as a matter of fact, the Valley Players of Almont are coming up with a play in December. They're coming back from a hiatus. And so there's, it's not as easy as you would think to get a venue, and also then to get 24 people to clear the same mm-hmm. day of their calendar going into the holidays. So we did consider it, but we're just going to have to go with a fabulously successful six-day run, and that'll be it.
Yeah, I was going to say, nothing wrong with that.
No, exactly. It's pretty nice to have.
And you know, it's I've always equated, local theater to kind of like the effects that they have. It's kind of like when you drop a rock into the water, that ripple effect, because mm-hmm. you've got people who are now going to come and visit the town of Almont if they're not from there already. And that contributes to the local economy and so on and so forth. Maybe they're going to go out for supper. They're going to make an evening of it. They're going to do some shopping. So it Absolutely. Really does help the area, you know?
Oh, 100%. I've also been involved over the years with the Puppets Up Festival.
Oh, and, yes, right.
There are other festivals around, and they do exactly that. They draw people for one event, and then these people look at these tiny towns that are just full of amazing people and shops and restaurants and character and public art and, beautiful landscapes, rivers and rocks and trees and stuff. And then they go, we're going to come back here because they like the vibe. And that's what we're showing. Like, really, what's happening on our stage is you know, roughly 24 people, some of who have never been on the stage before. Most of, like, a lot of them didn't know each other before we started this process. They have bonded strongly over the last 6 months. And what they're showing on stage by the end of the show, when we're especially when we're talking about the closing down of the mills and the ending of the textile reign in Canada, it is heartfelt. And people are, you know, they're crying on stage, they're crying in the audience, they're feeling the emotions of the place, you know. And that is a bonding experience, and that draws people back too.
Well, I was going to say, you know, as like you said, as they get to know each other more and more, it becomes much more legit, and you know, they're doing their job acting, but you know, as the shows go on and they form those connections with each other, it takes it almost to a different level.
It really does, and it's prompted things like one of our actors, Andy Williams, has written an original song for the play. And so in addition to all the songs that Fern wrote the lyrics to, we've got an original song that is beautifully done. The whole cast sings it. It's heartfelt. Some of the cast members have brought little additions into their scenes and added to their characters. We actually have an appearance at the end of the play by a fellow who actually worked at the mill in the 1960s, and he comes on to tell his story, and they've all, you know, the cast has all got to meet him, and they realize that they're portraying him and, you know, people like him and their ancestors, and yeah, the connections are really strong in this show, for sure.
Well, and you believe a lot in local performances, the arts, and that's why, you know, from what I was reading up on you, you were the recipient of the 2007 Mississippi Mills Cultural Achievement Award for your contribution to the cultural fabric of the community. You're the publisher and owner of The Hum. Tell us just a little bit about that and what drives you to put that out.
Wow. Well, we've been doing The Hum for 25 years now. In the before times, I was a high school science teacher. I had a pension and benefits, and you know, my husband was similarly employed. But when we got the opportunity to run a business that knits us in, I keep using textile metaphors, but it knits us into the fabric of our community. It allows us to see what's going on and showcase the best of what's out there, to, you know, forge connections with all of the amazing local groups, whether they're, you know, amateur, semi-professional, or community organizations. It's been a wonderful way to make a living. I still don't have a pension or benefits, but, you know, I'm just going to keep doing it because it's so much fun. And it's allowed me also to spend, you know, my volunteer time doing things like directing amateur theater and being involved with local festivals and arts organizations. But we couldn't have done it without the support of the community. Like, we started this thing with some other folks 25 years ago. If it hadn't gone well, I wouldn't be here today doing it. But the community has been tremendously supportive of The Hum and of all the other initiatives that I've mentioned that I've had the honor to be involved with. It's been great.
I'm just curious. Was your family involved in theater and festivals? Like, how did you get bitten by the bug?
I started ballet lessons at 5 years old.
Okay.
And then in Ottawa, I was at Fisher Park High School, which is now not known as Fisher Park High School, but we had a fabulous choral director who wanted us to start a show choir, which is where you dance and sing at the same time. So I started choreographing for that. I went on to Queen's Musical Theater when I was at Queen's, and I actually met my husband. He was playing in the pit band, and I was on stage in a production of A Chorus Line. And so it's been almost all amateur theater, but I've had a couple of opportunities to work with professional puppeteers and a couple of professional actors and singers. So it's been like lifelong, but I actually prefer, I love working with community theater amateurs. Like, I love seeing people discover something that they didn't realize they could do and having that moment come to light on the stage in front of all of their friends and family, where they're getting applause and laughter. And I mean, I can't think of a bigger high than that for me. I just, you know, it's just, that's what keeps me going. And watching a show that I've directed, watching them do it on stage is kind of like watching your kid perform. Like, mm-hmm. It's not you, mm-hmm. but it's something that you've had a real hand in and you've nurtured along. And And then you just get to sit back and enjoy it, and it's wonderful.
Well, just talking to you, I can hear how passionate you are about, you know, the shows and what you do. So, I mean, that passion has to kind of reverberate not only into the show, but into the actors who are feeling kind of your passion as well.
I really hope so. In professional theater, usually the director sort of steps away when they go on stage. But in amateur theater, I still show up every day and give them a pep talk and do the warm-up and try to, you know, try to infuse them with my confidence and energy and get them to share each other's. If you're going to devote 6 months of your volunteer time to a project like this, it should be fun. It should be positive. It should be energizing. And that's what, you know, that's why I'm in it. So that's what I strive for, you know, positivity and all that good stuff.
Now, Chris, before I let you go, you said something that's kind of piqued my interest. You said you guys do a warm-up. Now, as somebody who does a show 5 days a week, maybe you could let me in on what that warm-up is, because maybe I can incorporate that into the show before I sign on.
Oh, okay. Well, we do vocal warm-ups. We sing a lot of cute little songs.
Yeah.
We do enunciation warm-ups, but we also do one where we go up and down the scale. It goes 1, 1, 2, 1, 1, 2, 3, 2, 1, 1, 2, 3, 4, 3, 2, 1. But then I make them pick, we go from 1 to 8. I make them pick 2 numbers between 1 and 8, and you have to clap, not sing, on those numbers. And that messes with their heads. It's just delightful. You see them like they're just concentrating so hard on where do I clap, where do I sing. So it's trying to get them to focus, because when you're on stage, there are times when you're singing, there's times when you're dancing.
Yeah.
You have to be, your mind has to be, you know, going on so many different levels. So we do some warm-ups like that try to get people just a little bit more engaged, you know, on physically and verbally as well.
That's interesting. Kind of fun. Well, listen, hey, Chris, thanks for taking the time to chat with us. Continued success. I can just tell how passionate and how much this means to you. And it's nice when you put something like this together to see the results of 6 sold-out shows. And you have been kind enough to give us 2 tickets. We're going to give those away coming up in about 9 minutes' time. But, you know, if the show is even 50% as passionate as you are about it, then I know it's going to be an absolute home run. Congratulations.
2,000% more. It's because there's 24 people up there. So it's less positions, less everything, you know.
Chris, thanks so much for taking the time to chat with us, and continued success. And thanks for doing what you're doing, by the way.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate the opportunity to chat with you.
All right. Well, is it still appropriate to say break a leg?
It is. Apparently, a leg was one of the supports from the front of the stage. So it's not actually a human leg we're breaking.
Oh, thank God.
It's because you have so many curtain calls that your curtain leg breaks.
Isn't that interesting? Okay. Well, now I don't feel bad saying that. I'm going to say break a leg.
Okay.
Okay. See you, Chris.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Bye.